chapter 4. Now, just before we read, I'd like you to please follow with me. If you have a bulletin, look at the back of the bulletin. This evening, what time is the evening service? 5 p.m., right? Okay. Number 2 in the series. What will happen in heaven after Jesus comes in the air? And then June the 13th, that's Wednesday. What will happen on earth when the church is gone? June 17th, that's next Sunday morning. What will happen when Jesus returns to the earth in glory? June 17th, in the evening. What will happen during the millennium, the thousand-year reign? And then the second Wednesday, June the 20th, what will happen at the Great White Throne Judgment? Now, Pastor will be back, but he's asked me to bring the 7th. And that is what will happen when the world is no more. Think on that. What will happen when the world is no more? Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 13. Now listen to what Paul was saying very intently. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Our precious Heavenly Father, we are a people that are a needy people. And we have just read, Father, what we believe is one of the most awesome, wonderful passages of hope for the believer that we could ever search out in the Scripture and read. We ask today that you would bless the reading of your word, and Father, you would speak to our hearts about the coming day, the day of the rapture of the church, the soon appearing in heaven of our Lord to follow 7 years after. But this is unannounced, and what a day it will be. And we praise you, and we love you, Lord, and we give you the glory. And we ask that if there's one here today that does not have it settled in his or her heart about heaven, that you would speak to them about eternity and about where they'll spend it. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name, and God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Verse 16 is our text. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What will happen when Jesus returns in the air? Emotionally, this is almost out of bounds for the believer. Spiritually, it's on target. For victory, it's in the center of the bullseye. For the clock, it's ticking and coming soon. Your prophetic And we ask this morning some questions. You might wonder, sitting in this auditorium, why is it that many others do not preach on the second coming of Christ as it is in the Word? You see, when you preach on the second coming, this great truth that we are about to embark on fills a large part of the Bible, a large significant part. And if we fail to preach on the second coming, we are neglecting a large portion of God's precious word. A message on the second coming gives us definite hope and definite Bible information. And it brings comfort to God's people. It also gives a reason for serving Him, and it gives us a reason for right living. The very next thing that is going to happen, according to God's plan, is for His Son to return to the earth for His very own. Now, there are two different groups of people in the earth. We know this. Religion is not the boundary. There is no boundary except Christ. It is the saved and the lost. There's no in between. If a person is not saved, then they will not go to heaven. They will go to hell. It all depends on whether that person is saved or lost. So the very next thing that is going to happen in God's prophetic and great drama will be the coming of Jesus in the earth. What a day and what a moment it'll be. So there's three simple truths that I'd like us to look at concerning Jesus coming in the air. The first is found in verse 16. It speaks of the great sounds. In verse 16, follow with me. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now, the great sounds are twofold. Please notice, first of all, in verse 16, notice the shout in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. My goodness. It's going to be a shout of victory. Not of depression, not of emotional degradation. It's going to be victory. Because when he shouts, there is going to be infinite power in his shout. It will penetrate at that time all the graves and all the depths of the deepest sea. All in a millisecond. As a young man, D.L. Moody, when he was in Bible college as a young man, was called upon suddenly without announcement to preach a funeral sermon. So D.L. Moody, as a young believer and young preacher in the Lord, began to search feverishly in the Word of God. He hunted for a funeral sermon in all the Gospels, trying to find one of Christ's funeral sermons, because our Lord attended many funerals, you see, and trying to find one, but he searched in vain. He found that Christ broke up every funeral that he ever attended, every single one. And death fled where he was. When the dead heard his voice, they sprang to life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The second is the voice of the archangel. In verse 16, you find the archangel with the voice of the archangel. And it says with the trump of God, but the archangel. The The archangel is the leader of the heavenly hosts that are coming with him at the rapture. There's going to be a great stirring and commotion in heaven when Jesus leaves for the earth. This is something that has not really happened since he ascended in glory and came back to heaven some days after his crucifixion and his burial and his resurrection. Why is there going to be a stirring? He's leaving for earth, and he's coming to get all the redeemed souls that have been saved by his grace. Think of it. Why is he coming? Not one precious soul that is saved will be left behind. Not one. And then we have, outside of that first two-part arena, the voices, then we have the trump of God in verse 16. And the trump of God stands for the great gathering together of his people all over the earth. I want you to think of this. When the trumpet sounds in an army camp, and you'll hear that trump, let's see, how long is it before you are your goal to go into the army? Do you have a deadline or a date deadline? You just know you're going to and you want to. Amen. And that's wonderful. That is significantly wonderful. Well, think of this. In a camp, an army camp, when the trumpet sounds, what do the men do? They rush from their tents and they fall into line and they march off to battle if they're in the midst of a conflict. When God's trump shall sound, every saved person everywhere simultaneously at one time will fall into line to be taken up to join the great multitude that are in heaven. The shout will be so loud, and the voice of the archangel so clear, and the trump so distinct, that every single child of God will go up to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. The second thing we have about the second coming. Notice in verse 16, it says the Lord himself shall descend. The second truth is the great Savior's appearance. And he will appear, and all that are born again will see him. Not every eye will see him, not until 7 years later when he returns to the earth, physical form. But may I tell you the great Savior's appearance? There are three thoughts here to consider. The first is there will be no substitute. Now, why would we say that? Because it will be Jesus and the Lord Jesus only. Listen to what the disciples say in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, who is that promise for?
Jews.
That promise is for you. If you're saved, it is for you. It is for all the ones that you win to Christ. It is for those that you bring to church that give their heart to the Lord Jesus. John 14:3. Jesus said, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the question that may have crossed your mind is this. When he returns at the rapture, what will he stand upon? Think of this. He needs nothing to stand up. He hung the sun in its socket, and it goes through space, the universe, in its orbit. He hung the stars on nothing. And when he returns, he will be suspended between heaven and between earth. Suspended. He's coming. Once he was suspended, he was suspended between heaven and between the earth as cruel men hung him on a cross and nailed his hands and his feet, and literally upon that cross, as if he were too good for the earth and not good enough for heaven. He suffered on the cross for our sins, but when he returns, there'll be no suffering for him, none whatsoever. It will be a day of rejoicing, and here's what we know. His anticipation is going to be great as he comes in the air. There are three wonderful things about this. First of all, think on this. He is going to gather his believers from all over the earth. Not too long ago, I believe that there were some prisoners released from some countries in the area. Iran, Korea, others. And people were rejoicing. Rejoicing. And why did they rejoice? Because their loved ones were coming home. He is going to gather all believers all over the earth. He's going to also raise the bodies of those who loved him and those who died for him. And every trouble at that moment and at that time will be over. And may I tell you, spiritually speaking, that Jesus will throw his loving arms around his believers, and his heart at that very second will overflow with joy. A little boy, true story, some years ago, a little boy was asked what he wanted for his birthday. He said to dad and mom, he said, I want a puppy. I want a dog. And so they took him to the pet store. And when they were at that pet store, they talked to the proprietor and told him what they would like to see for their son. And he found a particular place that puppies were maybe 10, 12 weeks old, maybe a little older. And there was 9 or 10 of them in this pen just hopping, jumping, and just doing what puppies do. And the proprietor opened up the gate, and he let this little boy in, and he sat almost in the middle of that little area, and these puppies were all over him. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, he picked one of the puppies whose tail was wagging furiously, and he picked this little puppy up and hugged it, and of course the puppy kissed him too and licked his face. And when they got him in the car and they're heading home, they said, "Son, why did you pick that particular puppy?" He said, "Mom, Dad," he said, "I wanted the one that had the happy ending, you see." And listen, if we want to reach out for a life with a happy ending, then we have no choice whatsoever other than to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and follow him daily and rejoice in the eternal life he's given and that also awaits us in his presence. Number three, what will happen to those on the earth when he comes? That's something worth looking into. There are four truths. First of all, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Paul alluded to that. When the trumpet sounds, dead believers will rise, but not all graves will be opened at that time. Please listen. Those who have died without Jesus Christ will not rise until what is known as the second resurrection. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6 tells us of this resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and on such the second death hath no part. Christians are not supposed to mourn like others who have no hope. The majority of Christians that are gone are laid in man-made graves. They're at the bottom of an ocean due to a catastrophe or war at sea. Some have been burned to death. Some have died in remote parts of the world. Some have been torn apart and asunder by wild beasts. And yet when Jesus comes, he knows everything. There's nothing he does not know. When he comes, not one saved person will be lost. Not one saved person will be left behind. Not one. When I preach a funeral sermon, I can say good night to the person that is in that casket, and I preach his or her funeral. If that person is saved, it's not goodbye. It's good night, because I will see them in the resurrection. The lost will remain in their grave, but the saved will go home to be with the Lord at his shout. The second, the living Christians will be caught up. Please notice verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. It may be the pilot of an airplane, the engineer of a fast train, an Amtrak, or the operator of a power plant, nuclear. Yet there'll be no delay. It'll be instant. Instant. How long will this take? The twinkling of an eye. You know, the twinkling of an eye is about the shutter speed of a good camera. It's faster than some people, but it's at least 1/1000th of a second. That's pretty quick. So when the rapture occurs, it's not going to start in the east, although it probably will, but it's not going to sweep around the earth like some Christian films. They do that so that people understand. But the rapture, if I look into the east, and it's that point. Dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, that fast. No way to sit around and have a conversation about it. We're gone. We're gone. Now, up in Anchorage, Alaska, and I thought, you know, some people should be a little nervous if they have believers on as their pilot. United Airlines, the gentleman that used to be the CEO and would train people and teach people, he would also always give an invitation for his pilots. They would have a regular course. And at the end, this film showed him giving an invitation to his pilots. Many of the pilots accepted Christ. Can you imagine being on a United Airlines with all those Christian pilots and the rapture? And the pilot's gone. And if that pilot's a witness, maybe his co-pilot and navigator and radio man and so on are gone. Maybe the head stewardess. Many of those can fly. But they're gone. Just like that. Gone. Think on it. Living Christians will be caught up. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up. So salvation and heaven are not dependent upon works. Not depending upon works at all. Let me give you some suppositions, please. Suppose you were saved at 11 o'clock this morning, and 12 noon came. What would happen? Jesus came at 12 noon. You would go to be with him in heaven. Suppose you got saved today and this morning, and let's say that you are supposed to be baptized in the service this evening, and the rapture occurs at 2 o'clock. You'd still go to heaven. You see, the thief on the cross that said, Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. What did Jesus say? This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Hey, was he baptized? No. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Another great event is also going to occur. Would you like to turn to this passage with me? It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to go back, but just we're going to look at two words so we can remain here on this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, speaking of another great event that will also occur. Beginning in verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15. Look what Paul starts with. Behold. That's an announcement with great emotion. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, if I can condense this, we're going to be like him. If we're saved, we're going to, at that moment, and not before, we're going to be sinless and perfect. Sinless and perfect. We'll receive a glorified body that cannot and will not sin. Our new nature will habitate and take over in a body that's never sinned. And it's eternal. It will be, as we mentioned, we got ahead of ourselves, in the twinkling of an eye. That's a thousandth of a second. Now, in verse 17, back to where our original reading is, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, the expression caught up suggests with it, if you look at the Greek text, suggests an eagle that has caught its prey and flying to a mountain, or a strong man that is rescuing a child. So shall it be at the day and the moment of the rapture, because Jesus will catch us away, listen, before the great tribulation. Before. My dear friend, you would not want to live on the earth for 7 years after the rapture period. A dying Christian father had three sons. One of his sons was not saved. Two knew the Lord. All during that boy's lifetime, the father witnessed to his sons and led many of his children to the Lord with his wife. And now he lays on his deathbed. His youngest son had been a pain in his heart. And as the daddy laid on that bed, he looked and called each one of his sons alongside his bed. And he began to talk to them and give their name, and he would say, "Billy, you've been such a blessing. You've been such a help and an encouragement. You've served the Lord. You've been saved. You're faithful in your service to Him, and you're a blessing, Billy. Billy, good night." Call another son, another daughter. And finally, the youngest son, youngest in the family, was called alongside his bed. And he gave his name. And he said, "Son, all your life, ever since you were able to know right from wrong, I've tried to teach you, and Mom's tried to encourage you in things that are right and about the Bible. We've told you about Jesus. Virtually, you heard about Jesus in our prayers, our devotions, and so on. You would go to church with us and you heard about Jesus, but you never got saved. And you've broken your father's heart. Your father died with a broken heart over you." And he looked and he called him and he said, "Bobby, I love you. Bobby, goodbye. Goodbye." And that boy, the youngest in the family, cried out. And he said, "Dad," he said, "you've said goodnight to all my sisters and brothers. And you said that I'll see you in heaven. And you said goodnight. But when you spoke with me, Dad, you said goodbye. Will I never see you again?" The dad looked at him and he said, "Son, I tried to tell you all these years. You need Jesus to see him and to be in heaven. I'll be leaving for heaven soon. And unless you have Jesus, I'll never see you again." And he said, "Bobby, that's why I said goodbye." And the boy jumped up alongside his father and laid alongside him, eye to eye. And he said, "Daddy, Daddy, I want to see you in heaven. And I don't want this to be a goodbye. Daddy, tell me again how to be saved." And he did. And in the last few moments of his father's fleeting breath, little Bobby accepted Christ, young Bobby. And the dad looked at him and he said, "Bobby, although you've been a heartache, this is the greatest blessing that we could ever see. You gave your heart to Jesus. Bobby, good night." Listen. Marvelous message we bring. Jesus is coming again. He's coming. He's coming soon. For Christians, we need to knock the stops out. We need to take and kick out of the way things that obstruct our faith and our walk with the Lord. And we need to make Jesus paramount of our life. Number one, very first, most important, and live for Him and make our life count. We used to have a little plaque, and it says, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done. Am I doing that right? Yeah. Only what's done. Okay, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Listen. Are you saved? Will your loved ones that are saved, will they say to you goodbye, or will they say good night? There's only one way to go to heaven. Only one way to go to heaven. And that's to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let's bow our hands, please. I'd like to help you if I never see you again. The Lord takes me home perhaps today. I'd like to see you in heaven. With our heads bowed, are you 100% sure that if you die that you go to heaven? You can know that today. 2,000 years ago, Jesus shed His blood and took your sin in His body, and He paid for the penalty of our sin. An awful death that it was, but He paid for it. In full. And He arose from the grave the third day, never to die again. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd like to help you, my dear friend. If something happens, I'd like to see you in heaven. I would. And the only way that I know that you can make sure of that is to put your trust in Jesus and His finished work and to call upon Him and trust Him. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer of salvation. As I pray this prayer aloud, I'm going to ask you to pray with me quietly from your heart to the heart of God. And mean this prayer. And if you will, God will hear it, and the Lord will save you. As I pray aloud, you pray quietly from your heart to Him. And pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. Go ahead and admit that and tell Him, would you? I believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe you shed your blood to pay for my sin. And right now, the only way that I know how, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart right now. I'm asking you to save me and take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I love you, and I thank you. With our heads bowed, how many this morning, and I will not come to you. If I know your name, I will not call your name aloud. But if you prayed that prayer with me, would you please allow me to rejoice with you? If you just ask Jesus to come in your heart to save you, while no one else looks, would you just raise your hand to let me know that? What a blessing it would be. Brother Eccles, a moment ago I prayed that prayer. And I mean that. And I believe He saved me. Would you lift it up high? Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Now, How about you? Are there others in this auditorium that the Lord has spoken to your heart about walking with the Lord and making your life count more than ever? Did he do that? Did the importance and the intensity of the time and the rapture coming cause you to want your life to count that much? If it is, and God spoke to your heart, and you want to serve him, and you're willing to follow him however he leads, while no one's looking, I'd like to pray for you. Would you lift your hand? Yes, ma'am. Yes, 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 sir. God bless you and you, sir. Now, just before we pray, if you raised your hand that you accepted Christ this morning, and you prayed that prayer and you believe the Lord saved you while no one else is looking, would you and you only just look up at me right now? Just look up, and I'll talk to you by the nod of the head. When you prayed with me, did you ask Jesus to save you? Did you understand that he is the way? Okay, now, my dear lady friend, this is the Bible. It contains all the promises that you'll ever need. I'm just a friend. I just helped you to come to the one that you call upon. In a moment, we're going to take and have a short invitation. I'd like you to come and take my hand. Tell me what God did for you this morning. Just tell me you got saved. I'd like to have somebody come and just show in the Bible, in private, what God did for you. It'll take some courage. But would you come meet me this morning? Amen. You may bow your head. Our Father, thank you for this dear one that accepted Christ this morning. We ask that you would bless her and help her now to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We ask that you'll help those that have raised their hands, that they want to live for you and to make their life count more than it ever has. We ask that you'll bless them and help them. These things we ask for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Would you look up this way, please? Please take your hymn books, turn to